Welcome tonight. I'd love to see the house filling up tonight. So anyway, I'd like to get the meeting called to order. And first thing we'll do here is we'll get the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance. I'd like to ask Aaron Nagel of the First United Methodist Church of Lake Alfred to please join us.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we pause at the beginning of this meeting to thank you and for the city of Lake Alfred, its people, its neighbors, its businesses, and all who work each day to make this community a safe, welcoming home. We ask for your patience and your guidance as our commissioners, staff, and all in attendance carry out the public work. Grant our leaders wisdom to make sound decisions, courage to do what is right, humility to listen with open hearts. Help every discussion be marked by respect, patience, and a sincere desire to serve the common good of the whole city. Bless this meeting and all who participate in it. Your only name, we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I'd like to ask City Clerk Linda Bourgeois if you please call the roll.
Mayor Fuller?
Here.
Vice Mayor Daly?
Here.
Commissioner Eden?
Here.
Commissioner Dearman?
Here.
Commissioner Robinson?
Here.
Thank you, ma'am. And now I'd like to have the City Manager and City Attorney present their announcements. I'll start off with City Manager Ryan Levengood.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On Tuesday, January 6th, the City of Lake Alfred is hosting a blood drive in the City Admin parking lot, and that will be from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. City offices will be closed on Monday, January 19th, in observance of the Martin Luther King holiday. And then also Polk County Day will be in Tallahassee. That will be on Thursday, January 22nd, for those that are able to attend. Our next City Commission meeting will be on Monday, February 2nd, 2026. We have the single meeting in January. And if you'll draw your attention to the screen, I know we're in January and everyone's packing up the Christmas decorations, but if you'll indulge me, we'll kind of step back in time here a couple of weeks. And we had a winner of the Christmas tree trail. This was something initiated by Emily in the Parks Department. For those that saw those trees that were lined up there in front of the library and the Lake subdivision brought home the win. So looking forward to expanding that next year and getting more participation. So beware of alligators and the pink flamingos carried the day. So good job on the design there. Well, let's give them a round of applause. Yeah, absolutely. And then had a great festive time, great events, had by all, great participation with our Christmas parade. The police department did a great job with their float, and then just all around. So thank you to Emily and her staff. I know Christmas is one of her favorite holidays, and she put all the effort in. Hopefully she got some good rest and relaxation here these past 2 weeks. But let's give a round of applause to our park staff. Thank you. And no change in the sanitation schedule as a result of the upcoming holiday. We'll distribute that on social media. And that is all that I have. No other announcements.
Thank you, sir.
Good to be back.
Yes, yeah, good to have you. I'd like to ask City Attorney Seth Slater to give us his announcement, sir.
Only that we remain grateful to represent the great city of Lake Alfred, Mayor. Thank you.
Great to have you with us, and Happy New Year to you. Okay. All right. Recognition of citizens. At this time, we'd like to recognize any citizens that want to discuss any items that are not on tonight's agenda. You have an opportunity to come up, state your name and your address, and you have 3 minutes. So is there anybody that would like to take opportunity? Okay, seeing none, we will move forward. I'm sorry. You got to stand up and jump up and down. How are you, sir?
Okay. Hi, Robert Meyer. I represent Raise the Bar and Grill.
Yes, sir.
1504 Lake Alfred Road.
We've met.
Been open for 4 weeks.
Fantastic.
We're going to have a grand opening ceremony on February 28th, and we're inviting the city to possibly do a ribbon-cutting ceremony.
Absolutely.
If we could be put on the calendar for that, that would be awesome.
What
time? We've got you there. What time would work for you?
Whatever time's good for you.
are you open for lunch?
Lunch and dinner.
Okay, well, lunch might be a good time to...
Okay.
Maybe
fine.
Right before lunch, maybe? I'm asking.
Who?
And then we might have to try it out.
Or we can talk about it going further.
Well, February 28th, it gives us one more meeting, and we'll have a chance to visit amongst us, but we'll let you know in plenty of time.
Sounds good. But you all come down and see
welcome,
us.
Welcome. Welcome, and I'm glad to see you finally get the doors open.
With 10 or 11 a.m., would that work?
We don't even open until 11, so sometime after that probably does.
Okay, you want to do it after you're open?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we can do it around noontime, but we'll get with you on the details.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Okay, any other? Okay, we'll move on past that then, and we have special recognition now. I'd like to defer to City Manager Ryan Levengood.
Where's Herb? Is Herb did Herb duck out on his own retirement? Okay, we'll
put him on the next one.
We'll bring him back.
We'll make him stay on another month.
Yeah.
We can send Art out after him.
Uh-huh. Track him down.
You got your handcuffs? Bring him in.
Uh-huh. All right, we'll try to get him here for the next one.
We'll defer. I have one thing before we get to consent agenda, and I want to kind of start off the year.
We've got we got an employee recognition, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, I'm sorry, you're right. I always check that one up. Chief Bodenheimer, please. Got an employee recognition.
Good evening, Mayor, Commissioners, Vice Mayor, and citizens. Today's a day I always enjoy, and I tell you all this because it's a day we get to honor one of our officers. If I can have Officer Carlos Diaz come to the front. Can't hide in the back. Right here looks good. You can face it. Officer Carlos Diaz began his career at the Lake Alfred Police Department on December 14, 2015. Officer Diaz served as one of our road patrol officers through his early years with the department. On February 28, 2022, Officer Diaz was promoted to a police officer, too. For the last 5 years, Officer Diaz has been working as one of our department's school resource officers and is currently assigned to Hartridge Academy, which, if you don't know, is an elementary school. Officer Diaz is one of our bilingual speaking officers and proves to be an asset for the department and our community that speaks Spanish. 10 years ago, you took this oath to serve and protect, not knowing all the moments that would shape you along the way. Over the past decade, you faced long nights, difficult calls, and quiet acts of courage that rarely make the headlines. Officer Diaz has stood steady in the chaos, offered compassion in hard moments, and shown resilience when it mattered most. This 10-year milestone is more than a measure of time. It's a testament to your commitment, character, and dedication to the community you serve. Thank you for your 10 years of service and for continuing to answer the call with integrity and strength. It's my honor to give you this 10-year award, and I'm proud that you're a member of the Lake Alfred Police Department. Chief Bodenheimer. We'll get this right here, and then we'll get more. All right, you're not done yet. As y'all know, Lake Alfred's about family, and so I want all of Officer Diaz's family to come forward, please. We have family members from local. We have family members from out of state. We have family members from Puerto Rico here to honor this achievement. So. That's okay. You can take all the time you need. Grandma's what started this whole thing.
Right.
You don't know that.
Did he get the memo about not retiring?
No, we'll let him speech when he makes it. Yeah. And I like, if we can, Emma, can you get in the middle? Yeah, let's get her. She's very important.
Look at you.
I didn't know she could do that.
That way, if he gets out of hand, you can smack him.
Okay.
Well, something on the side.
Can I get a picture of
Carlos? Yes. And then we'll get some more pictures outside too. Which I should do inside of our
We also have our audience. Well, they left. I had Officer Lopez, who recently received his 15th year, and we have Officer Smith, who's on her, going on her third year, I think. And
why not? We're all here.
And then as soon as they finish, we'll give Officer Diaz the opportunity to make a speech.
That was the speech.
While they're doing that, I just got to tell you, he's used to talking to elementary kids, so it might sound a little different.
A little here.
There you go.
We can be in the midst.
Thank you so much.
No. Congratulations.
I saw this do it briefly. I think it looks when you follow Chief Bodenheimer. It's kind of a hard act to follow, but I do want to say thank you to Chief and Ryan for 10 years ago giving me the opportunity to serve you guys. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to come down to the podium real quick, and I have one quick thing I'm going to start a little.
Was Herb was supposed to get a thing?
Yeah,
good. I was going to say we would like to do something for Herb.
Leave it to Herb.
This is not on the regular agenda, but I would like Amy, Jake, Carson, and your two kids, Annie, Anna, and I'd like to have all these kids come up. And here we are, the first meeting of a new year, and it's the 250th. Anniversary of the United States Armed Forces. And so we're going to start something tonight. And I want to recognize you guys because I don't know how many months it's been in a row, but you haven't missed a meeting. Several months in a row. These are homeschool kids. I'm telling you, they make me proud every time I'm around them. And just at the parades and here at these meetings, and they're never afraid to get up and speak and ask a question. And I told Jake today, he was talking about a sermon that we saw this weekend, and he talked to me about how he got this particular point out of it, and I said, you got it right on the head of the nail. So they're growing up, but this is the direction that our world's going, and it's in these guys' hands, and I feel comfortable with that. So I've got a challenge coin here for each of you for the 250th year. And we're going to do this. It's a random thing. It's my call. But I just wanted, I knew you'd be here. So I want to thank you guys. And is there anybody who wants to say anything? Tell them what your New Year's resolution was.
My New Year's resolution was given to me by my mother. And she said I needed to keep my mouth shut more than it was open.
Anybody else?
I just wanted to say that I'm just glad we moved here and God called us here, because anywhere else I couldn't imagine. I'm so glad we know you guys.
That's the hug I get every Sunday at the church right there. You say thank
you. We were in the car, and I was having a hard time picking a New Year's resolution, but maybe for this year to be a little more relaxed, laid back, but still in a way to accomplish personal goals in a way.
That's great.
I want that. I have it. I want our business place to be successful.
You want to tell everybody what the name of the business is going to be?
Lake Alfred Oasis.
This is in the old Dayton Tackle Shop on Dayton Tackle, and it is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It's coming along so good, and we're so proud of what you guys are doing with that. So, do you help them a lot?
Yeah.
Well, Carson, that leaves you down there, and having said nothing, come on.
The reason why it's a PUD.
So, and that's burdensome for
you.
Right?
So
the 180 day is not to make things more burdensome for you.
That's what they said. They were like, we think this.
Hi, sorry for the racket.
Not us.
We were like a catch 22 because a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
Those are both hard. Welcome back.
Yeah. Thank you for your indulgence. Okay, we've got our consent agenda now. We have five items on our consent agenda. Item number one, city commission meeting minutes.
Mr. Mayor, staff has a request for the consent agenda. If we could pull, staff is requesting to pull the furniture purchase. We want another bite at the apple on that one.
Yeah.
Trying to get some additional bids.
Oh, knock that out. Okay, so we have four items. Item number one, city commission meeting minutes for December 1, 2025. Item two, city commission announcements. Item three, bid award, ground storage tank repair. And now the new item four is board appointment. I'd like to open for public comments. If anybody has anything they would like to say or any questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll move from that. Any city commission comments?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move approval of the consent agenda items 1, 2, 3, and 5, please.
Second. Okay, with a motion and a second, all in favor say aye.
Uh-huh.
Any opposed? That motion's carried. Thank you. Our agenda tonight, we've got several things to discuss, so we're going to start with public hearing ordinance 1570-25, election date. I'd like at this time to have the city attorney read the title of the ordinance 1570-25 into the record, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Ordinance number 1570-25, an ordinance of the City Commission of the City of Lake Alfred, Florida, amending Section 4.05A and D, elections, and Sections 2.05C and 2.07, which are related election cross-references in the Charter of the City of Lake Alfred, Florida, regarding elections, to change the date and year for the election of the City Commissioners to the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November in odd-numbered years, commencing in November 2027 and allowing for extension in terms of City Commissioners in office at the time of the adoption of this ordinance as a result of the change in the date and year of regular municipal elections within the City of Lake Alfred, establishing the 2027 election date and election dates thereafter for the City of Lake Alfred, regular municipal elections, providing for the incorporation of factual recitals, repealing all ordinances in conflict herewith, providing for the administrative correction of scrivener's errors, providing for codification, providing for severability, providing for a business impact estimate, and providing for an effective date upon final passage.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to ask the city manager to present the analysis, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On November 17, 2025, the City Commission provided a consensus to bring back an ordinance for consideration to move the April elections to November and the odd-numbered years. The ordinance was approved on first reading on December 1st by the Commission on a 4-1 vote. The Supervisor of Elections has requested the date change. Across Polk County, four municipalities have biennial elections to reduce costs and increase voter engagement. City of Lake Alfred has had an average voter turnout of 12% for the last two elections, compared to 18% in the biennial. And Linda, what numerically, what is our voter turnout approximately in terms of not just percentage-wise, but the number? Do we have that?
I'll look and I'll give it just a second.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. Citizens' biennial elections include Lakeland, Auburndale, Fort Meade, and Winter Haven. If approved, the seated city commissioners will have their terms adjusted to align with the 2027 November municipal election cycle. One commissioner would be extended by approximately 18 months, with the remaining seats that would be extended by approximately 7 months. City staff anticipates a special election in April of 27 to address the City Commission's request for a charter referendum to establish voting by seats. There was a question about why didn't we try to get that done in 26, and the rationale being when we talked it through with the Supervisor of Elections office, they were receptive to doing it in 27, and if it goes through, and assuming that it's passed, that would go into effect before your next election. So we basically had it done either this year or next, and the supervisor's office kind of slated more towards 27, and we just gave us additional time as well for the ordinance change.
Wouldn't our next election be in 27 then?
Mm-hmm. It would be
November of 27.
It would be November, but you do a special election in April, and then it would take effect.
So we would do an election in April and November that year.
It would just be a single question special election, effectively.
And not for a person.
And not for a person. It would just be on the referendum for the charter.
And that would have been when we would have had our regular election.
Yes.
So we were canceling the regular election and putting on a special election.
To save money.
Well, I don't think the cost savings are immaterial. That's not really a focal point. But it was the Supervisor of Elections. They agreed to accommodate that in 27.
I just think if that's the only thing that's on the ballot and it's going to be in April, that we're going to have a lot less turnout than.
Yeah, it's going to be small turnout. But we would have been, there wouldn't have been a person on it anyways if you had approved this. Then, again, everything would have gone to November. So, the proposed ordinance passed on first reading 4-1 and is being presented for second and final reading. Just as a caveat here, there is no staff recommendation on this. This is a pure policy play. Very rarely do you see something without a staff recommendation, but this is just one of those things where it's pure policy. Other cities that have the requests have been made, they have not gone along with. Linda, do we know which cities have not or were leaning against going with the request?
I do know that the ones that are. So Bartow is putting it in front of the voters, and Eagle Lake is also doing a charter amendment. They're going to consider going to four-year terms to allow them to go to November. Dundee did not. They did not go, but they're staying with April. Haines City was tentative. I don't know where they ended up.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So it's kind of a mixed field.
It's a mix.
Did Dundee change their mind because of the public outcry? It was articles in the Ledger.
The controversy in Dundee revolved around three seated commissioners retaining their positions for an extended period of time, which would prevent interested parties from running for office.
Yeah. And percentage-wise, we had about five. What was that? Was that the last election, Linda? 561 votes. So, you know, 12% versus 18% sounds staggering. If you're talking about like a national election for Lake Alfred, it was probably a difference around 30 to 40 people. So just to kind of put things into perspective or context here.
It shouldn't be a main reason.
That's just one of the caveats there. And as the staff has updated the commission previously, there's pros and cons. As in the spirit of there are no solutions, only trade-offs. It's just different. And one of the analysis points for staff was the commission currently has a 2-2-1, meaning no majority is up at a single time. So that has to be weighed out against the other alternatives to the point where I think if you wanted to preserve the 2-2-1 and honor the Supervisor of Elections request, you'd have to go to six-year terms. So staff's kind of looked at it every different way, kind of the pros and cons. But ultimately, it's just a policy decision of the city commission. So, again, staff recommendation is the pleasure of the commission, and we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you, sir. We have an opportunity now to hear any comments from the audience. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to do it at this time. Okay, seeing none, we'll move forward to city commission comments. Yes, ma'am.
Well, whatever I say isn't going to change anybody's mind, because I know the first time we voted it, I voted it down and everybody else was in favor. But I did want to put my thoughts into the record, because there's very compelling reasons why we should just either leave it like it is or wait. The legislature is getting ready to make some changes, in possible big changes, this session. So waiting till after the session, there's no rush that we wouldn't have to do that. As a matter of fact, that's what Fort Meade is doing. They're not changing, but they are going to wait until they see what the legislature does. It also means that if we are in the November election with other things like House of Representatives and other issues on the ballot, we might be on the back of the page, which might mean people might not turn the page over, which happens often, that they don't realize they're supposed to vote both sides of the page. Like Ryan said, if we have elections every other year, that means three seats might be open at the same time. And if there's a certain circumstance, it could be four seats, like we just had somebody leave the commission recently. And I think that would be really a dismal situation to have four brand new possible commissioners at the same time. I don't know how Ryan would feel about dealing with that, but there was an outcry when one of the cities did try to change it, and there was a big blow up in the ledger about it. And I'm not comfortable with voting to extend our terms without input from the citizens. So if it's not something that we would go to referendum and find out, or at least do surveys and find out what our the pulse of the city is about extending our terms, I don't see any compelling reason to change. If the supervisor election isn't requiring it, leaving it up to us, it means it's our decision. So if I can't think of a compelling reason why we should change, I won't vote to change.
Okay. Any other commissioners?
I think the only comment that I'll make, and I think we talked about this pretty good last time, is just a lot of people just are used to voting in November. So I think that's really all we're trying to do, is align when people are used to voting. I think this situation that is being described is just really on a part of the one time getting everything on track, just because it's not like everybody's going to be extended all the time. If there was a way we could do it without extending any terms, of course, I think we'd all be in favor of that. But as a citizen that has ran a couple times, I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's all you really want, is to get as much turnout as possible. So, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves, whether it's 30 or 40 or 500 or 5,000, it's still more representative. So that's why I'm in favor. But I do understand where Commissioner Daley's coming from. Like I said, if there was a way, I'm assuming you guys have, you know, hatched it out in 100 different ways, but if there was a way to do it without extending any terms, that would be the ultimate.
Yeah, the way that the attorney described it, it's almost like a property right. Your election, your term of office, it can never be shortened. So that wasn't an option. The only way you could do it would be to extend. And the way that we're structured with the 2-2-1, the only option is to extend the solo seat. Everyone gets extended 7 months, and then the solo seat has to be extended the 18 months. So that's the only way, I think, to do it, just the way that it's structured, based upon the supervisor of elections request.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, so I would be in favor, just because it's just a line up when people vote. And like I said before, when I ran two different ones, I was actually the outlier. I was able to get 20%, but that was within April. So only imagine, you know, if they're basically averaging 18-20% with those. I mean, those are good numbers for a small election. So that's all. Thank you.
That's about all the county even gets. And the city of Lakeland, the turnout of voters is dismal all across. There was a suggestion that you could do, without extending the terms, you could have the election for a shorter term, at the April election, you would have to have it for a 3.5 years, for example, or 3.2 or whatever, to make it even up to November without taking anything away from anybody.
That would Seth, but you would have to, if you elected someone to a shorter term, though, that would have to be in your charter.
Yeah,
right?
So if we're going to amend the, if we're going to shorten terms or we're going to amend the terms of office, it would require a charter amendment.
When I was in the policy committee at the Florida League of Cities, I asked the question about the some of our, the charters of, say, the cities who only had 3-year terms, and for them to go to this. This is being talked about in the legislature, too, not just at our supervisor elections. And they said, won't matter which charter says, if the legislature makes a decision, that's what you go on.
And also, the legislature spoke some time ago in regards to the change of election dates and then effectuating the orderly transition. Statutorily, you're able to do that and extend the dates. So that's in Florida statutes currently, unless your charter has expressed provisions that would otherwise require some form of an amendment, which it's few and far between, but some of them do, specifically Miami-Dade. We are able to do that by operation of law, by ordinance.
Okay.
I have one more question.
Okay. Well, Nancy is looking up her question. Either of you? Oh, she's got it here. Okay. Cool.
It's just in the election section of the ordinance, it says that there would be an election in 2027 and 2029. Should there not be another line saying, and then every 4 years thereafter? Because it doesn't say anything about that. It's kind of a specific date in the ordinance.
I'm going to apologize because when I look at those schedules, it's very intricate when you're trying to figure out the election schedule as you're moving beyond 4 years. I will take a look at it to make sure that we've sufficiently identified subsequent election cycles. And if there needs to be any revisions, if you would, if you do decide tonight to vote for approval, please just make it a conditional approval that subject to city manager and city attorney review to confirm election cycles for future years, 2027, 2029.
Yeah, it's basically just the wording of it. It doesn't say. It just says there's going to be 2 more elections and then nothing. So maybe it needs to say, and then every 4 years thereafter.
Okay.
That's more of a typo. I think that's a Scrivener's thing and not necessarily a thing we have to, or do we?
No,
we don't have to put it in the.
It's always better to be more detailed than less. So it's a good catch. Thank you very much.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything? All right. Since I do feel we're going to have a divided vote on this one, I'm going to ask the clerk to do a roll call vote, please.
Do you have a motion and a second?
Well, okay. We have a motion to...
I make a motion to approve ordinance 1570-25, election date conditional upon the review of the city manager and city attorney.
Second.
Okay, I'm sorry. With a motion and a second, all say aye.
I'm going to do a roll call.
And now I'd like to do the roll call vote. So, if I would get the city...
Mayor Fuller.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Daley.
Nay.
Commissioner Eden.
Yes.
Commissioner Dearman.
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson.
Yes.
Okay, that motion has carried. 4-1. Thank you. Okay, item number 2. Ordinance 1571-25, Condominiums and Cooperative Associations. I'd like to ask the city attorney to read the title of the ordinance 1571-25 into the record, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Ordinance number 1571-25, an ordinance of the City Commission of the City of Lake Alfred, Florida, relating to mandatory structural inspections for condominium and cooperative buildings, implementing subsection 553.889 sub 11, Florida Statute 2025, creating section 14-4 of the Code of Ordinances, City of Lake Alfred, Florida, requiring condominiums, cooperative associations, and owners subject to mandatory structural inspections to schedule or commence repairs for substantial structural deterioration within 365 days after the city's receipt of a Phase 2 inspection report,
providing for conflicts, providing for severability, providing for the administrative correction of scrivener's errors, providing for codification, providing for business impact estimate, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to ask the city manager to present the analysis, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Florida statutes established a new statutory requirement for every municipal governing body in Florida, including the city of Lake Alfred, to adopt a local ordinance implementing mandated repair timelines for certain residential buildings that undergo mandatory structural inspections by January 1st, 2026. This legislation strengthens statewide building safety protocols by ensuring that when substantial structural deterioration is identified through a Phase 2 inspection report, that corrective actions are initiated promptly to protect residents' property and public safety. Condominium associations, cooperative associations, and other owners of buildings subject to Section 553.889 Florida statutes includes multifamily residential buildings of three stories or greater that fall under the state's milestone inspection requirements. All covered by the ordinance requirements. The City Commission approved the ordinance on first reading on December 1st, 2025. The ordinance is presented to comply with statutory requirements. Staff recommendation is to approve Ordinance 1571-25 on second and final reading. We do not have any structures within the city that would, you know, even fall under these requirements, but it is a we're not really known for our condo life here in Lake Alfred, but it is a state requirement, and so we're just doing this to be in compliance. Staff will be happy to answer any questions.
You never know.
You never know. 100 years from now.
Okay, this is a public hearing, and if you've got any questions or comments to make at this time, please feel free to come forward, state your name and address. Seeing none, we'll move forward to city commissioner comments.
I have a couple quick questions. Is the 365 day part, is that the statewide mandate that was passed, or is there something we can do to make more strict on that, or no? The reason why I ask is it says... Not necessarily even fixed, but just like, you know, schedule. So, I mean, they could wait till a year to just schedule, and then it's on the books, you know. Right? So I didn't know if there was any way, even though we don't have anything.
The timelines and the requirement that's being articulated in this ordinance and adopted as part of the Code of Ordinances is a result of state legislation. So I'd have to, if you are interested in looking into maybe adopting or proposing a more stringent requirement, I'd want to first go back and ensure that there's no preemption issues, but I'd be more than happy to bring that back to you at the next meeting.
And that's a good point. And my second question was, does it say what happens if they don't follow that protocol? Are they just shut down or what?
It's all statutory. I will bring you I'm going to make a note to bring a printout of the statutory scheme, as well as I'll inform you of any preemption issues.
And do you guys foresee anything coming down? I think there is something circulating right now regarding HOAs.
I've learned
specifically
not to
like the reserve component.
If I pay too much attention to pending legislation now, I would think that we're all going to end up living in tents, and we would not, you know, who knows? Rennie would do great, but we might not.
I feel like that's kind of the next component, you know, just looking at it, you know, condos, you know, cooperatives, and then HOA would be the next big guy. So I just know that right now it's not mandated to have a reserve requirement, and then that becomes an issue, you know, when something major comes up.
A lot of the association of the cooperative legislation comes out of South Florida, most of, mm-hmm. you know, the pending bills that are, you know, before the legislature now. But I can pull a summary of what bills are being proposed if you'd like, and I can bring you a summary of.
Yeah, I was just curious if that was coming next. That's all. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Okay, anybody else?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we approve public hearing ordinance 1571-25 on condominiums and cooperative associations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion's carried. Item number three, public hearing ordinance 1572-25, certified recovery residences. And I'd like to ask the city attorney to read the title of the ordinance 1572-25 into the record, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Ordinance number 1572-25, an ordinance of the City Commission of the City of Lake Alfred, Florida, relating to the establishment of regulations and procedures for certified recovery residences and for requesting a reasonable accommodation as required by Chapter 2025-182, Laws of Florida, implementing Section 397.487.15, Florida Statutes 2025, creating Chapter 15, Article 1 of the Code of Ordinances, City of Lake Alfred, Florida, providing for conflicts, providing for the incorporation of factual recitals, providing for severability, providing for the administrative correction of scrivener's errors, providing for codification, providing for business impact estimate, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you, sir. Now I'd like to ask the city manager to present his analysis, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Last year, the Florida legislature enacted Senate Bill 954 related to certified recovery residences, establishing uniform statewide standards for how local governments must process requests for reasonable accommodation in residential zoning districts. Certified recovery residences provide housing and supportive living environments for individuals recovering from substance use disorder, and the legislation was designed to ensure consistency, transparency, and compliance with federal fair housing requirements. Under SB 954, counties and municipalities must adopt local ordinances by January 1st, 2026. These ordinances must establish clear objective procedures for reviewing and approving reasonable accommodation requests submitted by certified recovery residences seeking to locate within residentially zoned neighborhoods. The legislation further mandates that such requests be processed within 60 days to prevent undue delays. In addition, SB 954 restricts local government authority by prohibiting the imposition of additional public hearing requirements beyond those already required by law to grant the accommodation. This provision is intended to ensure that the approval process remains administrative, timely, and compliant with federal and state fair housing protections. The City Commission approved the ordinance on first reading on December 1st, 2025. Again, this is another item just designed to be in compliance with state law. Local codes already provide for this type of assistance housing in different formats, and a lot of this was already previously preempted by the state, and so this is just another layer to that to provide basically a format or a process for reasonable accommodation requests, and so that's what this ordinance seeks to provide. So staff recommendation on the item is to approve Ordinance 1572-25 on second and final reading, and staff will be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you, sir. This is an open meeting, and I'd like to invite anybody with a question or comment. Please come to the podium. Seeing none, I will move on to City Commission comments, please.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve Public Hearing Ordinance 1572-25, Certified Recovery Residences.
Second.
Okay, with a motion and a second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion has carried. Item number four, Public Hearing Ordinance 1573-26, Eden Hills Phase 3 PUD. And I'd like the city attorney to read the title of the ordinance 1573-26 into the record, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Ordinance number 1573-26, an ordinance of the City Commission of the City of Lake Alfred, Florida, amending the official Unified Land Development Code map series of the City of Lake Alfred, Florida, creating and establishing the Eden Hills Phase 3 Residential Planned Unit Development Overlay District PUD on approximately 117.23 plus or minus acres of land located west of CR 557, north, south, and east of Old Lake Alfred Road, further described as parcels 262720-000-000-042010. 262720-000-042030, 262720-000-044010, and 262720-000-032040 in the Green Swamp area of critical state concern, approving the Eden Hills Subdivision Phase 3 PUD plan with joint review considerations, conditions of approval, and terms of approval, transmitting said amendment to the Florida Department of Commerce, providing for conflicts, providing for severability, providing for the administrative correction of scrivener's errors and codification, providing business impact estimate, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you, sir. Now I'd like to ask the city manager to present the analysis, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The city has received a planned unit development or PUD application for phase three of the Eden Hills Community Development District or CDD residential development. Phase one is entirely constructed and phase two infrastructure is complete with home building well underway. The phase three PUD application continues the next phase of the development. The applicant would have gone through the standard zoning process, but the Senate Bill 180 legislation retroactively invalidated those standards. The applicant is applying under the alternate PUD standards for active recreation, which allows for 1,000 square feet of active recreation to be organized into park space, or approximately 7.02 acres of recreation space across 306 units. The park space was highlighted in green, and the applicant's proposed site plan submittal. You can kind of see the, let's see if I can zoom in on it. And we have two colors, and that was kind of requested by the planning board. The lighter green is just the general open space on the property, and the darker green sections are the park space. And in the area to the left, you can see the zoning that's around it. The C2, the commission will recall that action item came through late last year, or actually last year, to change that to C2. Let's see here, laser pointer. There we go. That C2 area. So the PUD in question, that's the VRN, which is the vintage residential, that area, and then this area here. And of course, this area is the existing Eden Hills, phase one and phase two subdivisions that are already, mostly built out, but in construction. And so this is then phase three. The proposed development and application are a continuation of the Eden Hills phases. They are consistent with the previous development. Providing for reduced lot sizes and an approximate density of 3.36 units per acre, which is below the 4-acre density required under the VRN zoning classification. Notable conditions for the PUD include, but are not limited to, Florida WaterStar requirements on residential units for water conservation, required roadway improvements to Old Lake Alfred Road and Cass Road in accordance with county requirements. There is a note here on the park space, which will be, so those park areas, they'll have to have sidewalks, small pieces of exercise equipment, playground pieces. The applicant will have discretion, but those standards will all apply, to those park spaces. And then there will also be a development agreement or developer's agreement, which is attached to this, but that, you won't see that until second read, because this is still first read. Needs to be transmitted up to the state, again, assuming approval. On December 8th, 2025, the Planning and Zoning Board voted 4-1 to recommend approval and forward the PUD to the City Commission for consideration. Because the property is in the Green Swamp Area of Critical State Concern, the ordinance will be transmitted to the Florida Department of Commerce for review. There is quite a bit of discussion between the board and the public that were in attendance with, actually, I would say 90... It might have even been 100% of the comments were not even related to the development itself, but to the road conditions and the concerns there about the additional traffic. Staff has shared these concerns. We actually proactively set up a meeting with the county because all of the concerns that were on the roads in question, none of those roads are city roads. So when we're talking about Old Lake Alfred Road, Cass Road, you know, and it's kind of tough to convey that, but all of the public comment that we received at the Lake Alfred hearing were regarding county jurisdictions, effectively. But understandable, we share those concerns. We've talked about that with the intersection coming through on the road project and the potential for the commercial development maybe to accelerate the intersection improvements. So we've already met with the county. The applicant was on that call as well, just so that everyone's aware. There will be improvements to Old Lake Alfred Road and Cass Road that are required as a part of their development, but these are not city requirements. These are county requirements, county permits, county processes. But our PUD, as one of the conditions, is basically just doing the belt and suspender approach just to make sure that all of that's kind of front and center. And that effectively no building COs will be issued until those improvements are complete. So there won't be, even though there's 306 homes that are coming out there, the traffic that's being generated by those 306 homes, that won't come online until those required road improvements are complete. But just to manage expectations, the road improvements are specific to this development itself, not the intersection at 557 and Lake Alfred Road. So if this development's not triggering that, the commercial development's going to be have to be the one that either gets it over the finish line, or if the county project, which is already slated for, you know, expansion, if they get there first, then the county will get there. So we're actually in an advantage position, because even without that commercial development coming in, it's going to happen. It's just a question of, does it happen in 2029, or does it get done earlier, maybe in, you know, 2027, potentially. So I say all that just because I know it was a spirited debate and a conversation, and again, a lot of concerns, but all specific to the traffic and the road patterns there. So they will have to do, they will have to complete that. And the county also has to issue them an access permit as a part of that development process. And we've already had that meeting with the county staff just to make sure that they're aware of it. It doesn't slip through the cracks. And you got to figure county has a much larger staff than we do, but they have an area the size of the state of Delaware. So we didn't want anything falling through the cracks and just kind of have it on everyone's radar. So with that being said, staff recommendation on the item is for approval of Ordinance 1573-26 with the proposed conditions on first reading. That is the ordinance that has been presented, and the city attorney has worked very diligently on it, and I will yield to him for additional comment and presentation.
Thank you. As part of this particular application or applicant-initiated request, there was a request made by the applicant for joint review considerations pursuant to Section 9.6.2D of the ULDC, and I will go ahead and read that out into the record. Section 9.6.2D of the ULDC joint review considerations. Pursuant to Section 233B of the ULDC, all development and development activity on or for the real property located within the Green Swamp, within the corporate limits of the City of Lake Alfred, Florida, shall occur in accordance with applicable provisions of Section 2.33 of the City of Lake Alfred Comprehensive Plan, Code of Ordinances, and applicable Florida law. For purposes of the subdivision and master development plan, the owner-applicant has requested certain joint review considerations as follows. Section 5.2.3E of the ULDC, which requires certain elements for interconnectivity between residential developments. Section 4.5.8 of the ULDC, which requires wall and or fence details for the subdivision. And Section 5.2.8B of the ULDC, which provides certain pedestrian path minimum standards for the subdivision, collectively referred to as the considerations. Pursuant to the master development plan that was submitted and staff review, I've provided, if you look in the footnotes, that pursuant to Section 2.35D of the ULDC, the considerations have satisfied the goals of the PUD overlay within the Green Swamp Area of Critical State Concern. And those goals are to promote flexibility in development design, promote the efficient use of land, preserve existing landscape features and amenities. It coordinates building forms and architectural styles within the development and provides for an overall balanced land use mixture. Particularly, the fencing consideration that is being requested by the applicant is consistent with the existing fencing around the Eden Hills phase subdivision as in toto. So to put a different type of fencing material or architectural type fence there would mm-hmm. it would stand out more than it would be architecturally pleasing, and it wouldn't be in uniform with the surrounding development. And then also pursuant to Section 991G of the ULDC, and as presented in the Master Development Plan, that is the Master Site Development Plan, which is required for each and every PUD application that is submitted. the considerations have no negative impact or material negative impact on adjacent uses. As a matter of fact, just the contrary, there's projected or planned commercial development, which is preventing the interconnectivity, and that's why that consideration is being sought on or for this particular project. So otherwise, what our comp plan and what our code requires is interconnectivity between residential developments. You're going to have increased freight truck activity as well as traffic coming into a commercial project. And so it's not going to be connecting residential with residential. So we feel that, and discussing it with the applicant, that the intent of the code was not to provide interconnectivity between different land uses or types of development, but similar or the same types of development. So the intent there would not be met by having interconnectivity, and furthermore, it is a risk from a safety standpoint. So pursuant to the requirements of the code, there's no negative impact on adjacent uses and is not injurious to the public health, safety, and welfare. And pursuant to 993C of the ULDC, the owner applicant has provided a narrative and explanation of how the considerations meet the review criteria and how strict enforcement of the regulations in question would create an undue and unnecessary hardship. There was one additional in the three that I mentioned. That was the pedestrian path. We will more likely than not really go into the topography specific issues as well as some of the other considerations that are being made by both parties in the developer's agreement, but we feel that there is no adverse consequence and the goal of the and intent of the code is met with the projected or proposed pedestrian walking path. So in this particular instance, while I'm usually not a big fan of having these types of considerations, I feel that the applicant has satisfied their burden and provided adequate support for their position.
Staff has no objections to the request, and the continuity and consistency with the buffer fencing. If you're familiar with the Eden Hills, it has the five split rails, the split rail fence with the columns and the landscaping. It's got a pretty good aesthetic. We worked through that as a compromise many years ago, and it's just extending that same continuity throughout. And then the cross connectivity, I didn't even think that needed to be in there, but since we were doing the PUD anyway, the city attorney wanted to capture it. Yeah, we're not trying to promote cross connectivity and have, you know, a public truck coming down your residential, neighborhood there, so to speak. In downtown or when you have different residential subdivisions, it makes sense to have cross-connectivity like-to-like, but, you know, promoting the buffering there between the heavy commercial use and the residential just didn't make sense. And then the pedestrian path, that was minor. It was a small dimensional consideration. So now the city attorney, I think, does want separate motions on that. How do you want this to proceed?
As a matter of fact, for this particular request, you can refer to section or to Exhibit E, Section 1, to approve the joint review considerations A, B, and C as set forth therein, and that would be fine.
This is why I don't let the attorney talk too much.
Repeat it?
Well, that's what happens when you do it for 40 hours straight.
Yeah. So, do you want to read that again?
Yeah, so it would be Exhibit E,
Section
1, 2A, B, and C, Joint Review Considerations, Motion to Approve.
So you're going to approve that as a separate thing
from
separate from the PUD. There'll also be an approval of these exhibits.
Yeah, without the approval of these joint considerations, the master development plan would not be able to be finalized.
Okay, but two separate
things. Yeah, it's a two-putt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. City Manager.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a public hearing tonight on this issue, and we're open for comments or questions at this time. If you'd like to come forward.
Robert Parrish, 1626 Newfoundland Street. I live in the Eden Hills community. So a couple of questions. One, what is the schedule for this development, meaning more of like when are they planning to break ground, if it's all approved, and roughly how long are they looking for it to take?
So the app, that is not kind of part of the action item. The applicant, though, is in attendance, and if they would like to answer that question, I think we welcome to hear it. From the staff perspective, when we look at this from a zoning take, it could be tomorrow, it could be 20 years from now. And I say that from experience because, as some of the commissioners in the audience can remember, the Lake subdivision was that exact example to where zoning and things came through in the early 2000s, and they're still building houses there to this day, 25 years later. Mm-hmm. So Now, prospectively, it's probably going to be sooner rather than later would be my guess, and if the applicant wants to kind of fill in the details there or their prospective timeline, I think we would be happy to defer to them at that time.
Okay. My other quick question is that when we moved in to Phase 2 in April of 2025, there were a lot of electrical issues as far as the TECO grid that just wasn't keeping up with stuff. Power outages were constantly happening. I know some people complain about the water pressure. Obviously, we got a new water plant, so I'm hoping that helps take care of it. But what are some of the utility considerations that, like, as far as the grid goes, is it going to be substantial enough to handle new development on this that then plugs into the TECO grid and then we have the same problems all over again?
Clifton, do you know if they're making, I know they've made upgrades up there, but do we know of anything definitive? I know a lot of utilities are making upgrades in the area, not just electrical, but you're seeing investments in gas, fiber optics. I know TECO's been a part of the conversation, but I don't know exactly. Have they? Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, those are good questions.
Clifton Bernard, Public Works and Utilities Director, City of Lake Alfred. So, yeah, in that area, they have been making a lot of upgrades, replacing the old wooden poles with the more sturdy concrete, taller poles that can bear more weight. I have seen them. It's a company, their sub called Powertown, has been out there replacing all of their infrastructure. So not only getting ready for our new water plant, but getting ready for the new communities coming in. So I have seen that progress out there.
We coordinated with TECO as a part of the water plant process.
We did.
Okay.
We did. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we got that water plant going out there, so it's got to be reliable. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you, Clifton.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
You know what that is?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Rennie Heath, 346 East Central Avenue, Winter Haven, Florida, representing the applicant this evening. Appreciate you taking the time to review this situation. We've gone through this quite a bit with the staff. They've been very, very, very helpful. I'm here to answer any questions. There was one question the gentleman asked a minute ago. Our goal is to start construction on our development in July, and it'll take anywhere from 9 to 12 months, depending on it, you know, certain things that may come up during construction. So we're guessing July of 27 homes will be starting to be built. During that time, we are planning on doing the widening and overlay of Old Lake Alfred Road from 557 intersection to Cass Road. And then we're also going to be starting some roadway work on Cass Road before we start construction. We're going to do that immediately. I've been working with the county on that. We've got plans approved already. We'll probably be mobilizing and starting construction on an overlay and turn lanes into the phase two and phase one probably within the next 60 days, and that'll take 90 days of that. So that'll be going on in conjunction with when we start construction on the other phase. And I'll be more than happy to stand for answer any other questions. And I appreciate your time.
I had one quick question. Well, go ahead.
No.
And this is this might not be a question for you, but I've just seen the impact. So that's on the front end, the 557 and Cass. On the back end with Cass and Adam Barn, there's a very small section there. But I've noticed quite a few people turning in there. It's almost like they're using that as a bypass instead of going down 557 and dealing with all the traffic. They're just kind of working their way on the back end. Is there any, I've asked this before, but is there any plans? It's not a huge, you know, huge area, but it's very small. When you get in two cars side by side, you kind of hold your breath.
They're doing the work that's responsible for their phase. But to echo your concern there,
this is like a couple hundred feet down the road. This is
the whole area, and really, if you drive the back way to go to Auburndale down like Lake Maddie, you know, that whole area is very narrow. And then as you go north on Old Lake Alfred Road, that kind of cuts up to 557A. You can't even get two cars past each other. But then when you get to the area where Silver Lake touches on the back end, it widens up and it's real nice because that was that development had to do build their piece of the puzzle, their leg of it, and then, so you, that's the, probably the perfect example. So what Rennie's referring to, they're going to make those type of improvements to their area, and again, all based on county requirements, nothing that the city has to weigh in on. But I do want to reach out, and I've mentioned it to the county, John Bodie, the basically the land development director, and then Auburndale too, because Auburndale, they're building the Lake Mattie development, and I don't know if there's an opportunity for the county and the city maybe to come together, and rather than wait for all of those groves to develop, is there a way to kind of get ahead of it with a joint city-county project? I mentioned to it, he didn't tell me no, but I could kind of read the tea leaves, and they're probably getting those requests all over the county because transportation's front and center. But it is very narrow there, and ideally we would be able to do something about it. I'll say sooner rather than later, but not if not that, at least not to, for it to be entirely development-driven, because that development here would not impact, wouldn't rise to the test of putting that over the line. For them to have to improve.
And the reason why I say that is because I drive that road basically every day, and even when they were doing construction, they were using that road. Mm-hmm. So it's very narrow. Like I said, this is like a 500-foot stretch, right? Because as soon as you go on the curb, it widens out. It's fine.
Does
but
it?
If you're going through Adams Barn Road, you know, you got Lake Alfred on one side and Auburndale, and then when you get to the part right before Cass is where it gets really narrow, and there's always a lot of traffic, and it's going to, you know, it's only going to get more. So whether it's the developer's part or our part, we just need to make sure we're fixing it. Whether it's the county, I mean, it's a very small strip. We ourselves, I'm sure, can knock it out. I'm just saying that needs to be a part of the solution as well, because it gets dicey on that part.
Clifton, let's make a note of that, and then we'll look at that this week. And then
inexpensive, you know, relatively.
I have a really pretty good working relationship with the county, and I can address that with them and see if they're in something you can't do because it's a safety issue.
Yeah, they've already fixed it once you go around because there's a very steep curve. They've already fixed it once you go past the curve. But right before the curve, you know, as soon as Water Ridge basically ends, mm-hmm. from that point until the curve is very, very narrow, and that's where Cass Road is too.
Brian, if you could show me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Email me or something. I'll
see. Okay. Yeah, we'll do.
So along those lines, the development would be required to do from 557 and then go around the corner to the back side of the development as well. There's another exit out the back, or are you just stopping at where the road turns to the right? It's still Lake Alfred. Oh, Lake Alfred Road. It doesn't change name, but it does a 90 degree.
Yeah.
And it, see where that red is on the left there? Is will that be widened all the way to there on your dime, or is that something we have to talk to the county about?
We're actually widening and overlaying from 557 mm-hmm. Old Lake Alfred Road till it turns north. I believe we're actually doing that past our entryway that's on Old Lake Alfred Road.
An entryway there on your.
And then on Cass Road, we'll be doing something a little different. We're going to mm-hmm. widening and overlay and put some turn lanes in to get into those that phase existing.
Mm-hmm. So you're on Old Lake Alfred Road. You'll go do that pointer again. You'll go all the way up to where your development. By Lake Camp.
I believe so, yes.
Because even
yes,
past
correct.
That, we still need to talk to the county because
yes.
then that becomes, I mean, I don't even know how you're going to get your construction trucks in and out because it's, you can't, and maybe we can talk to the county about even adding a little bit of gravel on the shoulder or something because when you're passing a concrete truck from the other direction, and a lot of people are using that as a bypass because 557 is so badly traveled. I mean, it's the traffic is so bad, and the curves are so tight. And I know that's a problem. They have to straighten out roads when they fix them or something. But
I tell you, if you don't mind, and I'm not trying to put more on your plate, Ryan, because I know you're going to end up. I'll be more than happy to sit down with you on a half-hour conversation and figure out what all you're looking at, and I can maybe facilitate that with the county.
Yeah, as long you know, I know you guys are going to do your you know proper requirements. But it's beyond that, which is going to be you know, it's going to affect the people who live there and the people who, you know, travel that road. The line right now, because that intersection is so bad, I mean, the sooner the better for all of it.
Yeah, but we'll look at it systemically throughout the area, but yeah. Each development will take their piece of it, so it'll just continuous improvement.
Yeah, I know we'll hear a lot from the residents about, and I have a question, too. I know the state legislature made all these changes and said because they didn't want us to be more burdensome on the developers, but isn't this making it more burdensome for you? Is that sort of ironic? I feel like we already went through all this, and they made us, in order to tell us to not be mean to you guys, they made it worse.
It was a no-win situation.
I'll let the city manager explain that. What we've gone back and forth. Uh-huh. And that's the way I look at it. However, the city has gone back to the way they did it before the legislation.
Right,
passed.
Because they made us.
That's right.
It's not our fault.
So I don't have a dog in that fight. I just have to go along with what the city requires.
Yeah, but they're making it more burdensome.
I agree.
I feel it.
They don't
define the word burdensome. That's the other problem.
As I explained it to Rennie and Heather, I said there'd be no way I'd be able to convince a judge that it wasn't more burdensome because we took out like three pages of provisions and text.
Yeah.
They knew it because they had intimate knowledge of the code both before and after to where they could objectively make that determination. But the next applicant would come in and say, oh my goodness, this is more burdensome because they didn't have the sweat equity that they did. But the applicant worked with us. The PUD language that we added as an alternate option, which I had a very fun conversation with the state telling them that it wasn't more burdensome because I'm like, look, the applicant can choose. It can't be more burdensome if you have a choice. Mm-hmm. And so we sold the planters in Tallahassee. I didn't tell you about that phone call, Randy. I didn't want to raise your blood pressure anymore. But we sold them on it. They gave us the green light. And so the applicant availed themselves of the alternative code provisions, which they basically volunteered to go back into what we had previously had.
And then would that fence provision then go all the way around that corner also to the back side of that? That's all the same?
Because
that's definitely so much better than that white PVC that falls apart in the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks nice, so if that's okay. The other thing is there's an area where some of the houses back up on the north side to the commercial, and it's open space. Does that mean that that'll be open to the public or the residents to go in the other people's backyards? See up at the...
Oh, the park space?
No, it's open space. It doesn't say park space. It's the other color, but it's abutting the development of the commercial development. Nope, the other one, up to the right of that.
Here?
It's touching the commercial development. It's zigzaggy.
The stair step?
North, north, north.
Right here.
Yes.
There.
All that.
Those little park spaces, right?
But it's in the backyard. Open space. So those people who live there, open space means it's open to the public, or does that just mean that those people can't develop it?
It's just a green space.
Yeah, just an area set aside just for green space.
So
it's not really
almost like an easement for those people. They can't build on it, but nobody can walk around on it. They can walk around on it.
I would assume, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's like grass.
Yeah, it's just odd to me that'd be in people's backyards. I was wondering how those people would like it when people are in their backyards. Maybe, you know, and I imagine there's going to be buffer zones for the commercial development to have
as the commercial comes in, they'll have to buffer against it.
Yeah, and there won't be any access from the back door into that development, into the commercial area.
No, that was the whole, and the city attorney
kind of... We don't need to hook it up at all, because the people just have to go out and around.
The developer...
they'll climb the fence.
...has requested that no traffic back and forth, and also foot traffic and what have you.
So mm-hmm.
I'm sure they'll address all that when they come through.
When they come
I don't speak for them.
No.
Tell us to be a one-hole golf course.
A putting green on the back there. Okay.
I know one other concern that was in the zoning or the planning commission meeting was that how does anybody know that this widening of Old Lake Alfred Road is going to be done while we're under construction, because it's a county road, and we're doing construction in the city of Lake Alfred, We've got an agreement with the county that in that that road widening and overlay has to be done during construction of our phase, our PUD. If not, they will not. They're going to notify the city to not issue certificate occupancies until that's done. Well, we have when we put lots into the ground, we sell those lots. We go under contract with a builder prior to us putting a shovel in the ground. They won't go under contract unless we provide them with that documentation that we're going to do that, and that has to be approved by the county.
I thought the house had to be totally built and ready to move into for CO.
That's a CO.
So this is not for a permit. This is for the final CO. Well,
the City of Lake Alfred Unified Land Development Code requires that if it were a road under our jurisdiction, the improvement for infrastructure, roads included, would have to be completed prior to the issuance of a building permit. In this particular instance, though, because this is not a road that is under the jurisdiction of the City of Lake Alfred, we are kind of at the mercy of the county. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and also remember that when we issue building permits, we're receiving transportation impact fee revenues that can go towards addressing transportation-related issues or infrastructure that is needed to address transportation in that general area. Mm. So we are going to probably address some of that in the developer's agreement that will come back to you, maybe fine-tuning substantial completion and maybe coming up with something that is reasonable for both sides because it prevents us from actually doing the work that needs to be done.
The key for us are outside of the county, though, is the condition that, you know, the road improvements be completed before the COs are issued. From a traffic operations perspective, that's the concern of the residents is that, hey, you know, 300 additional units are going to be driving on these roads now, you know, when they're not improved. That won't happen per our PUD condition because you're not going to be able to occupy it. That will probably never be – we probably won't need to lean or rely upon that, and I think that's what the applicant is suggesting, is that the county is already going to be requiring them to do it concurrently. And if you think about it from, like, a sequence of events, it just makes sense. When they're out there building the infrastructure internal to the subdivision, they're already mobilized. They've already got the road equipment out there anyways. It just makes sense to knock it all out at the same time.
That's correct.
So I'm even though the public was very – I'm less concerned about it just in the sense that before there can be a house there, there has to be internal roads. And if they're building internal roads, they're going to make the external improvements at the same time. So our risk envelope is very low here just – operationally based upon, you know, how the development is set up. But just as a belt and suspender approach, we just have that additional condition. So we've put ourselves where we need to be in order to effectuate that.
Does the city have an obligation to widen the road by the new water plant?
Yes, so we actually deferred that for the time being to when we improve the park. So
eventually it'll all look like the back of Silver Lake
from
587 all the way to 587A. It'll be all one oasis.
Absolutely. So when we come through with the park improvements, the county would require us to do the same.
Because the people who live here are going to want to go that way. They're not going to go all the way out and around, sit in traffic to go up 587A if they're going to I-4 that way.
And really,
down that road.
Really what will happen is, because I know how Jay Jarvis thinks, is when we get ready to want the whole thing done, he's going to say, okay, are you all willing to take the road? And so we'll end up taking the road, and then our horse in the trade will be, okay, we'll take it, but you need to finish out the balance of it. And so that is how that particular deal will happen. And again, it'll make sense, and if we have the park, the water plant, a bunch of city residents along that road, you know, then at some point it would make sense to take it. Yep.
Stand by. Any other questions? If not, I appreciate it, and thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Well, then I'll make a motion.
It wasn't directed to him. I'm just going to make some comments. Great discussion tonight. But what I wanted to articulate of us that's been on the commission with these PUDs and all, the 3.36 units, which is below the 4 acre, is very good. And the only other issue in the future is, it's been brought up many times, street parking. In subdivisions.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of our subdivisions that there's cars parked in places that shouldn't be, and I just hope that can get helped in the future.
Commissioner Dierman, these are public road subdivisions, so whatever the applicable legal requirements are for on-street parking would be applicable in these particular subdivisions.
We're actually working with the current Eden Hills subdivision now and their HOA to kind of help not only educate but also work with them as a partner to address some of those concerns. And so since this is an extension of Eden Hills, by the time we get the solutions ironed out in Phase 1 and 2, that'll just carry over organically into Phase 3.
These phases have separate HOAs, or is it all one?
It's one CDD. It's
all
one
that.
CDD. Yep.
Okay.
Even under a CDD, you can have different property
owners. You can
have
HOAs, too.
You can have, yes, property owner associations or homeowners associations that are applicable, but the CDD is the umbrella.
Yep.
Okay. So,
thank you for good discussion. Thank you.
Make a motion to approve Ordinance 1573. No? I have to do that first?
Yeah.
Okay, then I make a motion to approve Exhibit E, Section 1, 2A, B, and C in joint review.
Second. Okay, we have a first and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
And now I'll make a motion to approve Ordinance 1573-26, Eden Hills Phase 3 PUD.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion is also carried.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in. Okay. Item number 5, public hearing resolution 01-26, safe routes to school grant support. I'd like to ask city attorney to read the title of the resolution 01-26 into the record, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Resolution number 01-26, a resolution of the City Commission of the City of Lake Alfred, Florida, approving and supporting the submission of the City of Lake Alfred Safe Routes to School Grant Application in and or for the 2025 Safe Routes to School Grant Application Cycle, providing for authorization, providing for incorporation of factual recitals, providing for conflicts, providing for severability, providing for the administrative correction of scrivener's errors, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to ask City Manager to present his analysis, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The proposed resolution authorizes the City of Lake Alfred to submit a Safe Routes to Schools funding application to the Florida Department of Transportation. The proposed project will run from Highland Subdivision on the west side of Lake Swoop Drive and continue to the entrance of Magnolia Ridge, thereby completing connectivity to the four local schools along Evanhouse Road. City staff, including public safety and various consultants, including a surveyor and transportation engineer, evaluated the proposed project. City staff has requested letters of support from law enforcement, local schools, the Friends of the Library, and the Lions Club. The grant award announcements are anticipated in September of this year. Adoption of this resolution provides formal support from the City Commission and affirms the City's commitment to improving safe connectivity for students traveling to and from area schools. If you'll draw your attention to the screen, this is kind of the proposed route there along. You can see the Magnolia Ridge subdivision, but it captures right there kind of the end of where the Fruitland Park neighborhood is. Remember, we did the sidewalk connectivity between Twin Lakes and Fruitland. And so this is a long stretch here, and this will kind of connect up to the front of the Magnolia Ridge subdivision. And then there's already sidewalks here that go down to Evan House. And we did that project. When was that, Linda? Was that 10 years ago? When did we do that one that connected?
Yes, it was on Evan House Road that went down to Discovery Academy, and I think it was 2010.
Was it 2000? Okay, so it's been more than, 15, 16 years ago. So this kind of completes that leg. And we've got, we've done other various sidewalk projects. So again, no guarantee that we get it, but this is a grant opportunity for us to do it. And so staff recommendation on this item is to approve resolution 01-26, and staff will be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you, sir. Again, we have a public hearing tonight, and this item, resolution 01-26, Safe Routes to School Grant Support, is open for any public comments or questions. Anybody would like to come up? Seeing none, we will pass that on now to City Commission comments.
Sorry. Yep. Go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion.
Oh, no, wait, I have something to say. When I saw this, the grant application, and I saw the map of where it was, it confused me because the area around these Lake Alfred Elementary School has a lot of places where there needs to be sidewalks. There are school bus stops on the corner of Haynes and Ramona. There's one on the corner of Ramona and Cummings. The children all stand in the street because there's no sidewalk. There's also no sidewalk on Thelma Street from Glen Cruton to Ramona. So people, kids walking to school are walking in the street. And it's often in the dark. And that's also where all the cars line up. And we've talked about that a lot here, about how the cars line up. And other cars are going the wrong way down the street because they're trying to get around the lineup of cars. So I had asked Ryan to look over that situation. And this is a separate thing, I guess, because this is a different grant request. But I would also respectfully request we look into getting the sidewalks for safety for those students and children in those bus stops along that road from on North Ramona. There's a little kid every day walking that road, and the people are hurrying up to get their kids to school, and they're driving down that street. I'm also okay with narrowing the street to get a sidewalk if we don't have enough right-of-way, but apparently right-of-way is an issue. I looked on the maps, and it looks like the right-of-way on the east side is only a problem from Cummings to Sanford. The other side has some poles and stuff and a little narrower right-of-way. How many feet do you need to have? How much right-of-way do you need to put in a sidewalk? Like, what's the max?
Well, you've got to have the distance from the curb, too.
Right. So what's the minimum you need?
Art, do you have any insight on that?
Because it's 18 feet of right-of-way on Ramona on the north west side.
And then also, too, Art, and I know Nancy and I had discussed it, but just for the benefit of the commission and the public, the committee did take a hard look at Ramona and that area, and I know there was probably just a little bit more challenges there. Not to say that we can't affect some type of solution, but the grants, they want it smooth and clean and easy. They want, I think one of the requirements is you have to have all of the right-of-way already lined up. So this one's a long stretch. It makes it easy for kind of a one-and-done. And even the project that we did where we connected Twin Lake, that was partially, I think, paid for by CDBG, but the city contributed too. So when I look at this, I don't think it's an either-or or in competition. I think it's an and. And we just look at if we can get the grant for this, great. We don't have to worry about it. And then that frees up local funding, you know, for us to appropriate to, you know, just improving sidewalk connectivity throughout, you know, the entire city. But Chief, what's your insights on that?
Arbo, Niagara Police Chief. So, Vice Mayor, I just want to let you know that we did look at the project you're talking about, along with the project that we're turning in for the Safe Route. We had a team, myself, Linda, Aubrey, and a traffic engineer with us that scoped both of these areas out because we knew they were of great concern. As you've already mentioned, on the west shoulder of the roadway on Ramona, besides power poles, you have drainage along that, that causes a main problem, especially when you come to right-of-way. The other issue on that road on South Ramona was right-of-way, and that acquisition would need to take place. So this is why this project, as Ryan said, for the Safe Routes money, was agreed upon would be our best bet to try to get that funding. To do that, and to tell you the truth, I don't know that we can accurately measure how many kids would walk if we had a sidewalk versus cars. You know that.
Yeah, well, the Discovery Schools both run buses in that neighborhood. I know the public schools won't go there because it's too close.
Right.
But the kids going to the public school are going to go the other way because that's closer to the school. But I'm sure the Karen Siegel kids aren't walking to school.
No, most of just about all of them are definitely car riders.
Right.
And we do have kids every day that are walking, you know, through the Lake Swoop extension. I think we would have more if, you know, I think we would cut down on cars if we had something there. It also works on the our great plan for trails for people to go on and have that opportunity and some maybe other things with trails in the future going out north of 557. This gives us that connectivity to that. But there are some right-of-way issues that we're working through on this project too. So it's not that we didn't consider that project. I know we gave great consideration to it and spent a lot of time measuring and a lot of footwork on that. This project was just a simpler project, probably to get approved with this funding in a quicker amount without us having to look at a lot of property acquisition, right-of-way acquisition, probably power pole moving, which you know is not cheap. And in linking that up.
When I was just on my way, I was counting the poles and looking at where the right-of-way is, and it on the east side didn't seem to be too bad from Thelma to Haynes and then further down to there's quite a bit of right-of-way on the map, and there's a lift station in the way at one point that would have to be circumvented, but
And we looked at all that, and that's and to the east side would definitely be where we would want the, you know what I mean, we would want, that's what we all decided. And then we would have to put crosswalks from our adjoining streets to that sidewalk and hopefully have sidewalks down every one of those, you know what I mean, where they were mm-hmm. in the roadway.
It would be less disruptive, too, because it's not close to the fronts of the houses. The houses are further away from the road, so mm-hmm. it's not right. like you're taking away somebody's.
Yeah. And when you talked about right-of-way for sidewalks, there's a lot of measures that depend on that. If you have a curb, then you can put the sidewalk right up to the curb. If you don't have a curb, then I think we had to have 5 feet.
5 feet, and then 6 behind the curb.
Right. So
can you put in a curb while you're doing the sidewalk in order to avoid that if you don't have the right-of-way? Or do you have to buy the right-of-way?
You have to have the right of way, no matter what.
Well, but he just said if you had a curb, you wouldn't need as much right away. Is that my understanding?
Remember, with that curb, you've got to worry about drainage. So now you're talking about underground work in order to do your drainage on that roadway because everything's going towards the lake, all the way down that street from all of your contributory roadways. So you've got a lot of stuff in there if you put a curb in there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of work.
But to go back to it, I think everyone agrees that something needs to be done. We're just, again, I was like my low-hanging fruit analogy. So this is just lower up the tree because of it's a big stretch. It's simpler, but it's also very expensive. So if we can get grant funding in order to knock out this stretch, then that's one less sidewalk we need to worry about. But I think what we can do, Linda, if you'll make a note for the staff meeting this week, I think that's something to where we can get a game plan together and just see how would we do it, what would we do, what right-of-way actually needs to be acquired. And then Vice Mayor Daley had mentioned the stretch, was it on Thelma between Glen Cruton and Ramona?
Mm-hmm. There's no sidewalk there, and there's right away.
That might be one. And I was just looking at the overhead map. It looked like there was space, but you never know until you look at the property lines.
Whether you do it on the north or south side of the roadway, you're cutting in their yardway down through there. You know what I mean? And it's no different than when they came down the rest of Thelma and put mm-hmm. sidewalks. They put those on the south side of the roadway, so I don't know if we would keep that continuous that way.
And that's another bus stop, too. There's one on Thelma and Cruton and another one down on Echo. And there's just so many bus stops right in that neighborhood, and the kids just stand in the street. So.
But staff can work on that game plan and then just see what makes the most sense, whether we want to appropriate local funds in order to do some of the stretches or maybe start working on right-of-way acquisition now. And then I think we're fully anticipating trying to put in another application next year. I mean, if we get this one, great. We won't know until September, but the application deadline is the end of January. So we can kind of get everything teed up this year, see what we need to do, make progress on it, and then go after a second application next year in addition to whatever we appropriate through the budget process.
So. We also turned in this information to the it was presented to the Polk County Community Traffic Safety Team. They gave their support of it, which also includes TPO. Since it involves the school, TPO will be involved, and they will be writing a letter for support on this project as well.
For this one?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. All right. Anybody have any? Did you open that public? I'm sorry.
From before, right?
Number five.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we approve Resolution 01-26, Safe Routes to School Grant Support.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion's carried.
Yeah, you did.
Agenda item number 6, bid award street resurfacing. I'd like to ask the city manager to present the analysis, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On October 14, 2025, the city solicited sealed bids for the city's resurfacing project based on the street surface resurfacing priority list maintained by the Public Works Department. Streets or portions of streets included in the scope of services were East Hoffman, East Columbia, East Sanford, South Winona Avenue, North Echo, and South Charmel Avenue. The project was advertised on DemandStar, which is an online procurement platform, and on Monday, December 8th, we received 10 bids, the low bid coming from G&G Site Development Incorporated in the amount of $278,769. The second lowest bid was $346,000, and then the third bid was $415,000. Actually, there's the bid list there, out of order. And there again, those were the streets. And then just to kind of give everybody, this is kind of the list that's maintained by the Public Works Department. So the if it's got a D grade or lower, you can see how it's highlighted. And they keep this list internally. So all of the roads being proposed have a minimum grade, looks like of a D, and they're generally in the same vicinity. You can see here, based upon the map, this is the general location of the roads. That's over on the west side of town, which is Winona and the North Echo Drive. And then Charmel. This does not include the intersection improvements that we had previously discussed. That's going to come forward as another action item, maybe even as soon as the next meeting that we had discussed there at Charmel and Mackay Boulevard. But this is for the resurfacing portion of it. So likely looking to do a change order that we would award to G&G since they're already going to be on site. They can knock out those intersection improvements at that time.
On that Charmel Street, since they're going to resurface it, wouldn't it be a good time to put the speed slowing down?
Yeah, they'll do it at the same time. That's what we're. Clifton, can you come up and explain that? I know we had talked about working with the contractor that got the resurfacing bid.
And I was curious about why Charmel is a right turn only thing.
Yeah, that's what we're going to. That was something that Commissioner Robinson had identified early on. And it was one of those things where, oh, it's always been that way. And
but I don't know why.
And no one knew why. I think we asked John Deaton about that. What was his answer on it?
Yeah, we asked John Deaton about it. And what it was is that road used to be a dead end way back in the day. And then someone wanted to make it to where you can actually come out but not go in. So that's when it pretty much turned to a one-way going out, even though the road can handle two-way traffic with no problem. So
and then they put that median in the way so to make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To make a left turn into it from Mackay. You can't do that.
But now we'll be able to make that improvement to where people can come off of Mackay and come on to Charmel in ingress and egress off of Mackay.
Yeah, so that they'll do all that work at the same time, wouldn't you?
Yes, because G&G was the low bid. Plan was just, you know, do a change order, let them go ahead and knock it out while they're there.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Very good.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. So the staff recommendation on this item is to approve the bid award for street resurfacing to G&G Site Development for $278,769.87. And the city has budgeted approximately $275,000 this year for resurfacing, and that is from current year and then current year revenues on the gas tax as well as a carryover funding from the previous fiscal year. So I would say Clifton did a pretty good job of threading that needle with a 275 budget and a 278 bid. We made the most out of it.
Okay. Again, we have an opportunity now. If you've got questions or comments on this particular item, street resurfacing, please state your name and come up to the podium, state your name, and any questions or comments you might have. Seeing there's none, we'll move to City Commission comments.
The only comment I have is All these companies were given the same information, right?
Yes.
Do we have any work previously with G&G?
Oh, yes. G&G has done a number of different projects with the city. The bank parking lot.
Okay, and we've been satisfied?
Oh, yeah. They've done a good job.
And that answers my question, because you don't want to necessarily go with the cheapest one just because they're cheap. But if they've done good work, then we'll go with them. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Is that also the same contractor that did the Calford Diner as well?
Did they do the diner? I know they did the playground site work. Emily, it was G&G, correct? Was it G&G that did the playground, or am I getting it mixed up?
No.
Clifton, if you come up, what project? We've used JCR for a ton of them.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're confident. I just, because they were so far below. I mean, some of those are double, almost, you know, going on triple.
Need the work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when you know the U.S. asphalt was $685. You know, that's when they put in the, I call it the lottery ticket. You know, hey, if you're willing to pay me $685,000 to do it, I'll do it for you.
Yeah, I think some of the contractors, because a lot of times when contractors have a lot of work, they're busy. Just to stay on the different municipalities' list, they'll just go ahead and submit, knowing that it's way out of the ballpark, just to stay active. And I think that's where you get those U.S. asphalt for $685,000, way higher than everybody else. But G&G has done a lot of good work for us. They did the Gardner House area there with the paving and the ADA ramp. They did that project. They did the speed tables on Pierce.
Okay.
And they've done the bank parking lot, which turned out great. So we've had nothing but good results from them.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Cliff. Any other questions or comments?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the bid award for street resurfacing to G&G site development for $278,769.87.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion is carried.
Let you see how we can go from 80 million to 200 million on 557.
Yeah. That's how it works. Absolutely.
I know. Just take a little longer and get it done. All right. We are on. Last agenda item is developers agreement, Lowry Hills. I'd ask the city manager to present the analysis, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Lowry Hills development is a community development district comprising of approximately 217 acres and 678 single-family homes upon build-out. The development is generally located north of the railroad tracks and south of Lake Lowry along Old Lake Lowry Road. The subdivision was developed under the master plan community cluster provision, and staff has worked with the applicant to ensure compliance with the ULDC. As a part of the development process, the owner agreed to upsize certain utility lines from it was from 10 to 12 inches on the water upsize, as well as additional extensions that were beyond what their development required. And then from sewer, they agreed to upsize from 6 to 8 inches, and then also an additional 8-inch extension for additional lines that we had requested to serve future development. And so, in fact, when this happens, the development's only required to run the line that's required for their development. So if their development only requires a 6-inch line, that's what they pay for. That's what they're responsible for. But we're not going to run a straw to each individual development, you know, so we make them basically upsize the pipe in order to service future developments, and then we basically pay the difference. So when you see those attachments that kind of compare the one number to the other, we're responsible for the difference because that's the benefit to us into future development beyond what was required for them. So you can see there, that's kind of the math on it. So the total water credit is approximately the $211,000. And then the total sewer credit is approximately $269,000. This is all growth-related because it serves future growth, so all of these are impact fee credits. And the way that it's done, too, it's a credit from, so there's no money out of pocket from us. This just is counted against the impact fees that they would pay as that development comes in. There is a caveat here, though. There's some discrepancies that the engineers are still working out. So staff is going to request approval tonight, but just conditioned upon, you know, final approval from the engineer. Based on what I saw, these numbers may potentially come down slightly. I heard anywhere from like maybe 20 to 17,000 on each. So we still want to work through that. But substantively, this is where it needs to be. Just subject to those fine tunings. And then the city attorney had something additional. I know Seth had worked a lot on coming up with this developer's agreement. And this is going to be basically our form template agreement going forward for all utility upsizing credits. And so I think we're looking to get also approval just to kind of have this be the uniform agreement for this going forward. But I'll defer to him on that.
You pretty much hit the nail on the head. This form is not going to change substantively from project to project. What will happen is we will receive engineers' estimates or opinions as to the cost differential, and it literally is the cost difference between, as the city manager stated, an 8-inch line and an 11-inch line. So this is a reimbursement for the cost difference only. So we will receive engineers' certified opinions of cost, the probable costs. That will get plugged in with the approved construction plans, and the form may be used for any project within the municipal limits of Lake Alfred when we're addressing the utility upsizing. So what I would request is two separate motions, one to approve the form and authorize the city manager to execute said form upon receipt of receiving an approved engineer estimate from any applicable city consultant, as well as approved construction plans, identifying where the lines would be located in the upsized line. And then the second motion would be, as Ryan had stated, for the project-specific Lowry Hills, subject to receiving confirmation of the estimated amounts.
You got that?
What he said.
And I'm done with that.
So the staff request on this Lowry Hill specific is just for approval of the developer's agreement, conditioned upon final approval by the city engineer and city manager.
Okay.
Yeah, that's for the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is?
I'm good.
As stated by the city attorney.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
We're going to go down that road.
So we'll ask this at this time. If you've got public comments available, we ask that you come now and address us with any comments and questions. Seeing none, we'll pass that. And open for city commission comments, please.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the developer's agreement upon the city manager's...
The approval of
the city manager.
City manager receiving approved
approval.
Construction plans.
Approval of the development agreement contingent upon approval of the city engineer and city manager.
Got it.
Yes. I second. In the future, can we have a little notation that we're
calling audibles here at the line of scrimmage?
That's my feel.
So. Omaha.
I second.
Okay, we have a second?
Second.
Okay. We have a first and a second. Any opposed? Or all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
And the second motion would be as stated by the city attorney, and just the 30,000-foot view on that is Ryan will be able to have that executed and bring that back to the commission for ratification. Okay. It just is a more efficient way to handle these agreements rather than having to wait meeting to meeting.
That's all engineers anyways.
Yes.
Yeah, they handle it all.
All right.
I'll make a second motion according to city attorney's comments.
Second.
Okay. We have a first and a second.
And then another public comment on that item, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Are there any public comments on the second? Seeing none.
All in favor?
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion's carried. Woof. So, are you done?
That completes staff's presentation.
All right. This is our second opportunity evening to recognize citizens. Again, I would like to limit your comments to 5 minutes. Is there anybody that would like to come up? Quiet bunch tonight. Okay, then we will move on to commissioner questions and comments. We'll start off with Commissioner Robinson, and I want you to address the fact that just let us know if you're still in the doghouse.
No. I was able to pick up my wife from McKay Boulevard on her Facebook post that went national. I'd like to give a bunch of shout-outs from since our last meeting. We had the wonderful Christmas parade that was outstanding. So I'd like to thank all city personnel that put that on and was involved in that. That was a phenomenal event. Also, the Christmas luncheon at McKay Gardens was fabulous. I was able to go to the 100-year Haines City Gala. That was great and very informative. A lot of history there in Haines City, our neighbor that's growing like leaps and bounds like we seem to be. And then looking forward to Polk County Days up in Tallahassee. My first trip to Tallahassee for government work. Went on a school trip up there, so that was pretty neat. Pretty neat area up there. Excited about that. Also excited about the grand opening of Raise the Bar and Grill. More restaurants in this area are greatly appreciated. And then I wanted to remind the staff that my emo part two is probably coming up in the spring that I need to be signed up for. And I think that was it. Oh, happy Founders Day to Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated that was founded 115 years ago today in 1911 that I'm a part of.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Eden.
Thank you. As always, I want to thank both chiefs in the back and all the first responders. Sorry I can't root for you guys in the playoffs this year. We didn't make it. The Bucks didn't make it. It was kind of a rough football season. Thank all the other staff. Hope everybody had a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And then I'll make it brief, too. I think there's the luncheon at Polk State College. Can you send out the date?
We'll send out.
I know it's a lunch, but I can't remember exactly what date
it is. Next week.
Is it next week?
I'll send out the invite. I believe it's Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, if you could send it out so I don't forget. Thank you.
That it? Okay. Commissioner Dearman.
Thank you, Mayor. Hope everybody had a great Christmas, Happy New Year's. There was a lot of things going on in December, and I'm just honored to be a part of it. And I just want to thank the audience. I know the mayor is very pro of everyone coming, and I just thank you for coming. And we work hard up here, and we're proud of the city that we have. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I will follow that. I sit here month in, and I just am so pleased and proud of the meetings that we're having, the ability to get through difficult decisions sometimes. And the city clerk advised me of what a busy year we had last year, and I think we're on target to probably start out. How many resolutions and things do we have last year?
I believe it was 20 ordinances and 31 resolutions. I mean, it was a lot.
That's a strong. Yeah. So again, that goes to all the people behind the scenes that, you know, our directors and all the people there that work so hard to get that ready to come to this meeting. We really appreciate that. The commissioners are not necessarily always plugged into everything, and they get that put together for us. They give us an opportunity to review it before coming in here, and I think it makes things and these meetings work very well in your favor and ours. We don't need the marathon meetings unless we have to, but they take care of a lot of great things for us. Want to recognize Amber Deaton on her 21st anniversary coming up with the city. And don't know if it's in January or February, but it came out on the calendar today when I was looking at it. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, well, congratulations on 21 years. Commissioner Robinson mentioned the Polk County Days. I think you're going to really enjoy that. We usually have a very good turnout from Polk County at those meetings. And then that following week is the Legislative Action Days, and I will be attending that primarily on that one because there's a Florida League of Mayors meeting that's going to be joining that. So I will stay up there after the Polk County Days and attend those other 2 days with the League of Mayors and the Legislative Action Days. So a lot going on. All right, our session is starting, I think, the 13th, and we're going to have a lot of things going on this year. I know there's opportunities for us to kind of review as it happens. There's phone calls every Monday for us to call in or, you know, get onto a Zoom call or something like that to just hear what's going on. And we will keep you all aware of anything that we feel is significant to our needs and concerns. Again, just I'll say again, what a great, great parade we had, what our holiday parade, our opportunity to go into the Winter Haven Auburndale parade. It just fills your heart. You know, if you've been having a tough day or a tough week or whatever, and you go down there and you see the hundreds and hundreds of people out there clapping and yelling and screaming, and it's just a pretty good thing. So Ryan and I had the opportunity to ride together in that, and everybody else had their own ride, and we all agreed that it was just, you know, real special for cities as close as we are to each other to participate together. And I think that's what's going to be our, you know, our strength in the future is to work together as communities. So anyway, thank you again for everything. I'll let Vice Mayor Daly wrap us up.
Thanks. I love having the last word. Welcome to 2026. We made it. I want to shout out to is the Friends of the Library that did the Christmas Tree Trail. It was really a nice addition. Awesome. It looked really nice, and the community got into it, and it was just another feather in Lake Alfred's cap. And ditto on all the staff work for all the different projects and Christmas. It was nice having that little Christmas break, and now we're getting back into the swing of things. And appreciate the city manager listening to my concerns this week because I just had a lot of questions and concerns about some of the stuff that we were doing. It's tough when you skip a meeting in the middle. You don't get as many, can't spread out your comments and stuff. But even still with the skip, we still made it in less than 2 hours, and it feels like it's been a lot longer than that. But we made it. So we're getting ready to get back into city business and life in 2026. And with that, I'll turn it back to the mayor.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for everybody this evening. Aaron, thank you for opening us up with prayer. And I just hope everybody has a great new year, safe and prosperous. And we'll adjourn this meeting.
And when is the brush truck coming?
March.
All right. We'll see Elon then.
I did purchase a electric lawnmower, and I love it. So I'm test driving.
I got some electric hedge clippers.